Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In the search for the suspect in Wednesday's deadly mass shootings in Lewiston, Maine,
he is dead.
Governor Janet Mills adding,
I know that law enforcement continues to fully investigate all the facts so we can bring what closure we can to the victims and their families.
Maine's Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk says that Robert Carr died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound and his body was found at 7:45 tonight near the Androscoggin River in Lisbon. 18 people died in Wednesday's mass shootings. 13 were injured. More from CBS News Boston reporter Laura Hafley.
I don't understand.
Wendy Bell's brother, Bill Young, and his 14-year-old son, Aaron, were fatally shot inside the bowling alley.
Can't even go bowling. You can't even go have a drink at a bar or enjoy a meal with your family without fear.
Aaron's family says the teen loved to bowl and was having a lesson from his 76-year-old coach, who was also fatally shot. They were the oldest and youngest victims of the mass shooting that shocked this normally quiet state, where until this week, some residents still didn't lock their doors at night.
An escalation in the Israel-Hamas war, with two U.S. officials telling CBS News that Israel appears to have begun a rolling start to its long-anticipated ground invasion of Gaza. CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
This Israeli artillery barrage began what U.S. officials say appears to be a rolling start to the ground invasion of Gaza. Israeli ground forces have crossed into Gaza before, but only on raids, pulling out at the end of the night. A rolling start is different, and retired General Frank McKenzie, former commander of U.S. troops in the Middle East, explains how it works.
I think a rolling start will be an operation where you put in reconnaissance forces, you sort of gain a feel for the battlefield, and then pull your main forces in behind them.
CBS's Nancy Cordes with White House reaction to today's developments in Gaza.
All that the White House is telling us is that the president was briefed by his key national security advisors and that he will continue to be briefed throughout the course of the weekend. They say they're obviously watching what's happening on the ground very closely and that they are in touch with their Israeli counterparts.
Former President Trump is set to testify November 6th in the New York civil business fraud case against him after testimony from his three eldest children, including Ivanka. The lawyer for Ernest Karanchi, who alleged he developed cancer from exposure to Roundup weed killer, says a Philadelphia jury has ordered Bayer AG to pay $175 million in compensatory and punitive damages to his client. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News. I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pay raises for district attorneys and public defenders appear to be having the desired effect. Vacancies are down since the raises went into effect July 1st. Wisconsin District Attorneys Association President Eric Tony tells Wisconsin Public Radio that morale is also better. Public defenders say much the same about retention and morale. Now, Tony says he wants lawmakers to create more prosecutor jobs to help lighten the workload. Tomorrow is Prescription Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin. People who have old prescription drugs sitting around the medicine cabinet can bring them to one of 140 events happening around the state. There are also nearly 500 drop boxes where people can leave their old medicine anytime. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin is consistently one of the national leaders in the safety effort, and it makes a difference. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, then we were up, they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points. setting a new team record for a debut.
And it wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
33 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs around 45. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and boy, is there a lot of it being made every second of every day, whether you're awake or not. We're going to get into it right now. I hate to go back to the speaker. And now it's no longer the speaker race. It's this guy, Mike Johnson. Very, very concerned about him. I'm going to tell you a couple of developments. A couple of things. You had this terrible shooting up in Maine, Lewiston, Maine. Guy goes in. Guy's probably somewhat mentally ill. He uses a semi-automatic, and he kills, I think, 18 people. Wounds a lot more. He's on the run. Everybody's locked down. And they asked Mike Johnson, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? And the clown goes, quote, the problem is the human heart, not guns. Well, yeah, in a way, the problem is the human heart. That's why we've had people like Hitler and Stalin, everybody else. And that's why we had to defend ourselves. But letting this kind of stuff happen around the country and only saying thoughts and prayers and the problem is the human heart is irrational, it's immoral, and it's also heartless. It is heartless. Let me tell you something about this guy. When he was first elected, and that was just the other day, you know, seemed like a decent enough guy. Nobody knew beans about him. Everybody had to Google him, quite literally. Mitch McConnell said he either never met him or maybe never even seen him. Susan Collins said, I had to Google the guy. The White House was Googling him. Nobody knew the guy. Backbencher. Only been in about 6 years. The more I look at him, the more dangerous I think he is. And I'll explain why I say that. Well, first of all, we know his history as an election denier. He was one of the guys. In fact, he was the main architect of having the other congressmen, Republican congressmen, 100 of them, sign on to a brief from the Attorney General of Texas, who himself is under indictment. And he's been under indictment for 5 years for various frauds. And the guy is really no good. And the brief essentially said, you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this, essentially said, we in Texas object to the vote in Wisconsin and make the Supreme Court make them change. The last time that happened, they objected to the vote for Abraham Lincoln. A lot of bad stuff happened for five more years. Obviously, we're not there yet. This guy Johnson rounded up. There were 100 Republicans who signed on to that brief. And Johnson was the main name because the caption said, Mike Johnson from Louisiana and 99 of his best friends. I knew that. You knew that. We've talked about that before. But he also apparently, and I just found this out, spread the conspiracy that the voting machines in 2020 were tied to Venezuela. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others said, too. This guy's just a smoother Marjorie Taylor Greene, in my opinion. He gave an interview to Hannity the other day. Hannity asked him, what about Joe Biden? You going to impeach him? This guy's an expert at sort of weaseling around. He said, well, you know, if the evidence shows that he should be impeached, we definitely will. And it does show it. You know, so he'll sort of pretend to equivocate and not equivocate. On Ukraine aid, they said, well, you're going to not give Ukraine aid because you right-wing nuts in the Republican Party for some reason don't want it, simply because Trump doesn't want it, because he's being blackmailed by Putin on the Caprophile video and on bribery. So you all go along with it lockstep. He goes, well, let's just put it this way. I want to split the vote on Israel and Ukraine. No doubt in my mind, he'll oppose anything Donald Trump wants him to oppose. My impression of this guy is that he is a fascist fist in a velvet glove. He's a fascist fist in a velvet glove. And, you know, when Trump really started to arise in his presidency, it was pretty clear how bad he was. A lot of pundits said, you know, I think that what we have to fear is not Trump, but somebody who's a lot smoother and smarter than Trump, who comes along and he disguises it better what he really is going to do. That fits this guy, Mike Johnson, to a T. A lot smoother than Trump. No insults. In fact, he got up in his speech and he's making a self-deprecating remark that he couldn't get his wife to the swearing in because it comes so suddenly and everybody laughs sympathetically. And then he turned to Hakeem Jeffries and he just gave him a real velvet speech. And then he went to Kevin McCarthy and gave him a real velvet speech. And the point is, he can't stand Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries can't stand him. And Kevin McCarthy was knifed by Trump, who put Mike Johnson in. Now here's an analogy that occurred to me, a disturbing analogy to Germany in the early 30s. Donald Trump comes across as a buffoon, even if he gets elected. He's so transparent, always insulting, doing this and that. But this guy, what do you do if somebody comes along? He looks like an altar boy. I mean, the guy looks like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. You know, he's an Eagle Scout type looking guy. What that means is he's a Scott Walker type looking guy. Scott Walker was exactly the same, never insulted anybody, pretended to be self-deprecating, and he stuck the knife in every way he can. Now, do I have any examples? The guy's only been in the speaker for a couple of days. Do I have any examples of what I'm talking about? Yes, I do. The first bill, these guys had cooked it up and it was drafted, all set to go. The first bill he introduced, and remember, the speaker determines what gets introduced. Totally. If a Democrat or a dissident Republican gets up and says, Mr. Speaker, I request to be heard, the protocol is he'll say, for what purpose do you rise? And the guy or the woman can say whatever they want. Well, I rise because I want to put this bill in, or I rise to speak, or without definition. He can say, denied. And they got to sit down. And if they start talking, I mean, theoretically, he can have the sergeant at arms drag him out. He won't do it probably, but that's how much power he has. And usually the way it's exercised is when, for instance, Pelosi was the speaker. She would sit down with Hakeem Jeffries and Clark of Massachusetts and all of the leadership and the committee chairman, and they would decide what kind of stuff was being passed. She wouldn't surprise everybody. She'd put it in. If a Republican got up and wanted something, they had best go to her privately and explain what they wanted and why they wanted it. If George Santos got up on his hind legs and said something, she wouldn't have recognized him. Well, that's the way it works, except the guy that Mike Johnson is huddling with is Donald Trump. and a couple of Trump's handpicked, servants. Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan, a couple of them, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so here's the first bill. It passed 210 to 199, 199 Democrats, 210 Republicans. It was an energy plan. It was partisan. It was the Republican plan. All it did was cut $5 billion in spending from the Democratic climate plan and the tax plan and the health care bill. That bill is already passed bipartisan. Biden will veto it, won't even get through the Senate, but you see what they did. Far from saying we're going to be bipartisan, they immediately go in to change things that had already been agreed to. That's one example. These are Republican positions on energy and water use in particular, but it's the tip of the iceberg. He also put in a bill that cuts rebates to consumers who purchase electric appliances. He cut programs in the climate bill that were intended to incentivize state and local governments to adopt climate-friendly building codes. All this stuff. He just puts in a bill. Let's cut it. Well, wait a minute. This stuff is already passed. We want to cut it. This is not bipartisan. This is not in good faith. This is not doing something with the budget that's constructive. And here is the fly in the ointment. Here is what I'm concerned about. They're sort of probing and testing, passing these bills. They please Trump. Trump is now referring to him as MAGA Mike. MAGA Mike. He is a fascist in a velvet glove. He's a lot smoother than Trump, a lot smarter than Trump, and a lot younger than Trump. And this is the wave of the future, unfortunately, for the Trump movement. What concerns me, the fly in the ointment that I see, is there are some things that have not yet been passed that he can't just say, okay, I'm going to, just for the heck of it, charge the wall and do this, and yeah, Biden will veto it, blah, blah, blah. No. What about funding the government after November 17? Remember that Kevin McCarthy's extension was only 45 days. It only went till November 17. On November 17, we'd run out of money. On November 17, Marines don't get paid. Navy sailors don't get paid. Army soldiers don't get paid. The Air Force doesn't get paid. Public employees or federal employees don't get paid. We shut the government down. Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un lick their chops. The Ayatollah licks his chops. And he comes back with a bill, and it's a big haircut, a big reduction of what Kevin McCarthy and Biden agreed to back in April. And let me tell you something. Unlike normal congressmen, remember that passage I read from a fellow named Huber about the Third Reich, where he set out what they intended? They intended to work within the parliamentary system, take advantage of the rules of the parliamentary system. But the parliamentary, i.e. congressional system, relies on some good faith. And all they do is, when they're able to, under the rules, intransigently block everything and continue to press. So, for instance, Emmer had how many votes? Emmer had something like, 200, a little more. They wouldn't cave to him, but they made the moderates cave to Mike Johnson. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break. Backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. The Shaw. WAUK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on what I was talking to Bill about on Mike Johnson. Here's my real concern. I don't think this character, I think he's a Trump slave, and I don't think this character is going to put on any bill on the floor for Ukraine, even though 150 Republicans want it and 150 or more Democrats want it. He won't do it to obey Trump. But the thing that really bothers me, and I'll go to the lines, I'll see you on the lines, do not hang up. What I really want is this. Everybody should pay this attention to what happens if this guy is the speaker, as Nancy Pelosi was the speaker after the last election. 2024 comes. Biden wins. Beats Trump by 8 million votes next time, 9 million votes. Beats him by 60 votes in the Electoral College. But the margins are close. So he wins Wisconsin by 20,000. Biden does. He wins Michigan by over 100,000. I don't think that's particularly close. He wins Georgia by 14,000. He wins Arizona in the low teens, somewhere 12 or 14. And they pull the same stuff under the independent legislature theory, only this time, the Senate is supposed to receive the electoral votes, but they have to receive them in the House of Representatives. The Senate comes over to the House to receive them. This character, Mike Johnson, runs the House. He closed it. He says, no, nobody's coming over. I think there's fraud. Shuts everything down. The Republicans will back him up if Trump loses. It'll then go to the U.S. Supreme Court, to the six tarantulas. This is a very, very dangerous circumstance, and nothing that this guy has done so far leads me to believe at all that he can be trusted in the counting of the votes, the electoral votes, after the 2024 election. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Thank you, Matt. Wonderful show as usual. Thank you so much for spending 2 hours with us every day because we are getting enlightened every day. And thank you so much for all you do for us and
thank you,
helping our state and country, Matt. You are a true statesman. I'm calling today because, you know, I've seen that guy before and I was really concerned. But I thought, oh, geez, I got a really bad attitude. Maybe I better give this guy a chance. But then as I learned more and more, I have the same feeling. And however, there's also alerts from all over our country from former Republicans saying, people, this is not the Republican Party. This is a takeover. Then I've heard some really intelligent woman saying that this guy's a Republican Taliban. Because he's definitely not for women's rights. And in all honesty, that's true. You know, I mean, right. No Republican is anymore. But this is not the Republican Party. This is a bad news party that's trying to take, they sunk our state. But we got good guys still fighting there, but they took a lot of their power away. But they did a lot of damage in the state of Wisconsin, and they're still going after our educational departments and things like that in our colleges. But besides that, they're attacking the United States of America from the inside out, and I'm not going to give up on that statement because that's what they're doing, and we have to fight back, and we cannot vote. We cannot vote for a person with the R after their name because there was not one person that voted against that guy.
Right. No. You hit the nail on the head. And let me think about this, Gene, and everybody else. You saw how magnificent Nancy Pelosi was on January 6th. Remember when they were going to be accepting the electoral votes? It was just a very ministerial, normal thing. She and Schumer were magnificent. They were safe in a secure place. They made sure that the vote went on. They made sure they accepted the electoral votes. Now, fast forward, imagine that Mike Johnson had been there instead of Nancy Pelosi. There are many things he could do easily under the appearance of law to thwart the whole process. He could, for instance, say, uh-oh, there's danger, and send the Congress home. Yeah, he could do that. He could say the Senate can't come into the House to receive the votes because I'm the Speaker and I think that it's too dangerous. And then a couple of weeks go by and he doesn't convene the House again. Then January 20 comes by and technically Biden won, but he's not technically still president. And they call a constitutional crisis. Or he says, I, as Speaker, think there was fraud. That's what he said in 2020. He'd only been in the Congress 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. And he goes, well, I think there's fraud. But as Speaker, if he simply says, I urge my colleagues to vote against this and we'll send it back to the states and they'll get it right. The problem with that is when there's a dispute and even a fake dispute on electoral votes and it goes to the states, every state gets one vote. You don't vote proportionally by how many congressmen you have. So California would get one vote. Wyoming would get one vote. New York would get one vote. And Idaho would get one vote. And if you do the math, there are 50 states and more than half of them have Republican majorities and Trump would be president. Then we would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. What do you think Clarence Thomas would say about that? What do you think Alito would say about that? What do you think Gorsuch would say about that? Or Kavanaugh? I don't know what Amy Coney Barrett would say about that. But there's five right there, and they could, in effect, appoint the president of the United States, which they did in the year 2000, when Gore was ahead in Florida, and they shut down the counting, and they wouldn't let a recount, and they just said, George W. Bush is president, just like that, of their own party. On the audit afterwards, it showed that Gore won Florida. Therefore, he won the electoral votes, and he'd won the vote nationally anyway by over 300,000. The Supreme Court, the Republicans on the Supreme Court, picked the president of the United States in the year 2000. And with this character in there now, there's the danger that that could happen again. I have absolutely no confidence, none whatsoever, none, that the moderates in the Republican Party would stand up to him. All six, including Gallagher, Stile, who fancy themselves moderates, all six voted for Jordan, and all six voted this time around for Mike Johnson. They will not buck the trend because they like being in Congress and they're afraid that Donald Trump will endorse their opponent in a primary and they will have to go back home and go to work on something. That's what's happening. We're coming to a break. I see you on the lines. Those of you called in, do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Once you told me long ago, to the prom with me you'd go. Now you change your mind, it seems. Someone else will hold my dreams. A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm in the blue.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News special report. The Maine mass shooter manhunt is over. Searchers found the body of suspect Robert Card in early evening in the woods near Lisbon Falls, Maine. That is not far from where his abandoned vehicle was found after the Wednesday evening shootings. He apparently died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. This is the governor of Maine, Janet Mills.
This discovery is entirely thanks to the hundreds of local, county, state, and federal law enforcement members from all over and people from other states as well.
Robert Card was suspected of killing 18 people, wounding 13 others in a shooting rampage in Lewiston, Maine. The police chief there is David St. Pierre.
We're going to grieve for the families that lost loved ones here. We're going to continue to work. We're going to persevere. And we become better people for it.
Once again, the suspected Maine mass shooter has been found dead tonight, a suspected gunshot suicide. CBS News Special Report, I'm Tom Foti.
Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge has blocked a move by state lawmakers to remove the state's top election official. Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the state Senate voted to remove Megan Wolf from the position. In a court filing, Republican leaders said that the vote was symbolic. While today's motion isn't the final ruling on the matter, the judge ruled that Wolf is allowed to continue serving as the state's election administrator until they make a final decision. Penalties could be on their way up for assaulting or doxing an election official in Wisconsin. A new bipartisan bill would also keep people from looking up clerks' phone numbers or addresses through public records requests. Local clerks from across the country say they're facing more and more harassment since the 2020 presidential election. If the bill becomes law, assaulting an elections clerk could mean 18 months in jail. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
33 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs around 45. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
The Shaw, WAUK. Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise.
It's Rivalry Week as Carroll University football travels to Kenosha to play the Firebirds of Carthage for the old Musket Trophy this Saturday, October 28th. The Pioneers earned the Musket the last 2 years with a win could bring it home to Waukesha for the third year in a row. Catch all of the action live with Don and Johnny. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1. Carroll at Carthage for one of the oldest rivalries this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we go right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan. Andrew, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I think we're in trouble this time with this speaker. I don't know. You know, in hindsight, maybe the Democrats should have worked to keep that speaker pro tem. It sounds like he would have been a better choice now. I don't know what we do now. I guess the first thing to do is wait to see what happens with avoiding the shutdown. And then I don't know. Maybe the Democrats have to go after this guy to get him out of there somehow. But I don't know. I think we're in trouble this time. I'm afraid. I'm really afraid. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for the comments. Let me kind of buck your spirits up a little bit. Here's the deal. This guy, he's very smooth. And, you know, in a way, he's sort of a Tartuffe type of guy, you know, pretends to be holier than thou and all sorts of stuff. And, okay, that's his own business. But the proof of the pudding is going to be coming up. As you say, are we going to have a shutdown on November 17? I can't believe we are, because if he comes in a new speaker and then he shuts us down, I don't see how the Republicans can weather that in the upcoming elections. But the problem is, these people don't negotiate. They don't negotiate. They lay down the law and they say, okay, blow it up if you don't like it. That's what they said with Emmer. Emmer had, you know, 200 votes, maybe more. But Trump said no for Emmer because he was not an election denier. And they just said, fine, we won't have a speaker then. So Mike Johnson comes in, Trump endorses him. Most of the moderates didn't want him, but they don't have the same negotiating tactics. When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That's not the budget that Biden and McCarthy agreed to this spring. That has cuts in childcare, Social Security, all this kind of stuff. And he'll smile. He's sort of like, in a way, like Scott Walker. I mean, he reminds me of that. In other words, very quiet and polite, unnervingly polite all the time. People who are unnervingly polite, behind that kind of facade, there's some very, they have a lot of inner weasels, and they have too many inner weasels, quite frankly. And so, and what if he says that? All right, McCarthy and Biden agreed on no inflationary increase this year, which is really like a 5% cut. That's what they did. He says, that's not enough. I want a 10% cut, or we shut down. And Schumer says he's never, or Moscow Mitch said he never met him. The Republicans in the Senate don't want to go along with that. What do you do? At some point, you have to have a discharge petition for the correct budget. But that's going to take five Republicans. And if the five Republicans, as our people are in the state, are afraid of Trump because of what he did. An example, Robin Voss. Robin Voss is the speaker. I don't particularly like him, and I don't agree with anything he does. But the guy running against him was 29 years old and had no experience, and he almost beat him because Trump gave the word. There's fear of Trump in the moderate wing of the Republican Party. So I'm going to look at the budget. I'm going to look at Ukraine. If this guy says no to Ukraine, because we have a segment here in Ukraine, which we may be able to get to today, Ukraine is doing very well. And newsflash, I do not know how much credence to put in this. But as I went on the air, there was an article that said that Putin had a heart attack on Sunday. Now, it didn't say how serious. It implied it was serious. Said he's in an emergency facility in his own home. They built him a little hospital. He's hooked up to machines. There's a bunch of them talking about who his successor will be. This can be absolute baloney, but it's being reported right now. This is not the time to cut off Ukraine from American support. But if this guy is a little Tartuffe, sort of a Scott Walker type of guy, I don't know what he'll do. Then the other thing is, as he goes along, he can put in all the right-wing bills he wants. They're not going to pass in this Congress. The moderates can't possibly vote for some of the crazy stuff he wants. So let him do that. But if he also doesn't put on the floor even permission to even vote on or discuss things that 350 or 400 congressmen wants, and he gets away with that, then I will be very concerned, quite frankly, when he's basically the Nancy Pelosi of the House the next time their insurrection is milling around and allegations of fraud. We're going to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Well, the next time around, Joe Biden is president of the United States, and the insurrectionists don't get their asses in the Capitol in the first place. You know, Joe Biden mobilizes the National Guard if they need to protect the Capitol from these insurrectionists. And daily, people should be reminding these Republicans to adhere to the oath they took to the Constitution. You know, the literally bent of my mind made me go out and check out Dante's Inferno, and the oath breakers are consigned to the ninth circle of hell. And you have to they take an oath to the Constitution as what it says, not what they wish it says. There's no freedom of religion anymore. There's freedom of religion in this country. There's no religious tests in this country. That the 14th right. Amendment says that they're supposed to protect our right to vote and have those votes recognized, and any abridgment of that is a violation of that right.
Well, here's the deal, Mark. I love, you always have something from ancient Rome or Dante, which is terrific. I love this stuff. That said, you're right. They should be in the ninth circle of hell. Most of these people would steal the penny off the dead man's eyes. Most of these people would stab their own grandmothers if it could keep them in the Congress. Because what they prize above all is walking down marble hallways and giving press conferences and looking important. They will do anything to do that. They will do anything not to have to go back home and find the job. Anything, anything, including betraying their country. There are a few who didn't. Liz Cheney didn't. She stood tall. Adam Kinzinger stood tall. I think Mitt Romney stood tall, and now he's leaving the Senate. But I wish that they abided by their oaths. I have absolutely no, not zero, not a scintilla of hope that they will abide by anything other than pleasing Trump and staying in office. That's all they want. That's all they want. In fact, speaking of Trump, I have an idea. That judge in New York fined him 10 grand. Now his lawyers are complaining and they're going, well, no, he really in good faith thought he was referring to Cohen, Michael Cohen, and not the clerk. That's baloney. I think it's a lie. But here's my thought. This judge may have found a way to rein him in that the others didn't by humiliating him, because he got very red-faced and then he got angry and he ran out. The Secret Service had to chase him. He's losing his cool. The next time he does it, he goes after the clerk or goes after a juror, a witness, the judge could fine him 100 grand. But you know what he could also do? He could say, I'm going to put you in jail, but only for 5 days. And we have a holding cell right here, and we have another one for the Secret Service. So you'll be protected. And you put him in, and then you let the media go back and put him on TV like an orangutan in a cage. Humiliate him. That's what you must do. We're going to the lines. Julie of Kenosha, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind today, Julie?
Hi, Matt. I have this great big question. Why is every Republican afraid of Trump? What is there that they're afraid of?
You know, that's a great question, and I'll give you the answer. They're afraid of a primary, and you would think, well, a lot of these Republicans are well-entrenched. They have money. They don't have to worry. Robin Voss was well-entrenched, and he had a lot of money. And he's running for re-election to the state assembly, which in and of itself is not a particularly high office, although he's the speaker, so that makes it a high office. But he's the speaker in a gerrymandered legislature, and gerrymanders have a bad effect in a couple of ways. Yes, they ensure the reelection of a Republican, but they put up a guy who is 29 years old, I forget his name, absolutely undistinguished. I have no idea what he ever accomplished in the world, and all he did was walk around Mount Pleasant and that area and go, Donald Trump endorsed me. And he didn't endorse Voss. And he got 49 percent. He may have gotten 49.1 or 2%. That sends shivers down these people's spines. They're afraid they will lose their congressional seats. They're afraid. And remember something. In among those kinds of people, when the TV lights go off, they disappear. It's a cold, dark universe. They go right out in the stratosphere. They're never heard of again. They live to be on TV. They live to walk into restaurants and have people nod and smile and say, that's an important guy. That's all they want. And Trump can cost them that. That is the problem. Excellent question. I ask it myself, but that's my conclusion. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, the Republican Party, I don't think still exists, is now the party of Trump, megas, whatever you want to call it, but they gave to the man, which means he has the new speaker's ear, and that's not a good thing. But all roads lead back to a very important thing. Judge Janet, fair maps. Without fair maps, well, let's put it this way. If you get fair maps, a lot of this will be done away with. Because when you have swing districts, that means you don't have to worry about being primaried. And they're all, actually in both parties, they kind of lose control of that guy. So always remember, fair maps. That's why the Republicans in this state don't want them, because they're, you know, they're almost guaranteed their job. But the biggest problem here is Trump has the speaker's ear, and I don't know where we're going from here. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, frankly, the absence of fair maps, it's not only wrong, I think immoral, and it gives the Republicans in the state and the Senate a veto-proof majority, two-thirds, and the Assembly two seats short of a veto-proof majority. And so as a result, what you have is Voss as Speaker, LeMahieu as the head of the Senate. You have the University of Wisconsin being driven down, down, down in prestige, in educational resources. They keep starving it. Everything else as well. We have cancer-causing chemicals in all our water now, PFAS, the forever chemicals, because of gerrymandering. And, you know, the time is going to come when, I mean, in a lot of places in the state, you can only eat like one fish a month or something, or one fish a week, depending on the fish. They have cancer in them because of the Republican Party. But the thing about it is that the other effect of gerrymandering is the people who do get elected go to the extremes of their party to avoid primaries. That's true in the Republican Party. It's also true in the Democratic Party. If you had fair maps and you had to put up a candidate in your party, Democrat or Republican, in a 50-50 district, who had to get a majority of the votes, he or she is going to have to take into account the common good of everybody. And you're going to have people, the kinds of people we had when we had fair maps, when I was coming up in politics in the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you had giants. On the Democratic side, you had Bill Proxmire. He was statewide, so that's not a gerrymandering thing, but he was exceptional. Pat Lucey, the governor, but you had Les Aspin. You had people like Henry Royce. You had people like Jerry Klitschko. Terrific people. And on the Republican side, you had Mel Laird and Bill Steiger. These were people who cared about everybody. And nowadays, we do not have that. And that is because of gerrymandering in the state, and it's because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump threatens. He doesn't just threaten witnesses and clerks. He threatens congressmen and senators with primaries, and they chicken out because their entire existence exists with the light of a TV camera. And if that is taken away from them and they're no longer in office, they are nothing. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt for the Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on the idea of Trump and that judge in New York. Nobody has been able to corral this guy so far, except maybe that judge. And here's the reason. Why do you think that Trump is physically attending that civil trial in New York and just blowing off appearances and blowing off anything to do with the criminal cases? It's because in the criminal cases, if he's elected president, with the federal criminal cases, he'll have his attorney general dismiss them. He'll get a guy like Crooked William Barr, or Lying Mike Pompeo, to go in and do that. Crooked Donald Trump will protect himself. He'll self-deal. It's true that in Atlanta, that's a state case, and he can't do it there, but I think he'll think, well, then I'll be president of the United States, and I'll blow them out of the water. But the thing about the New York case, even though it's only civil fraud, this judge has already entered a summary judgment against him on liability. They're only talking about damages, and Letitia James is asking for $250 million. And the judge is getting ticked off at Trump by constantly being insulted by him, by having him insult his clerk. That judge could easily enter a judgment for $250 million. He easily could enter one for $500 million. That's a big number. This, you know, Trump is not Bezos or Gates or Musk. And he claims he has a few billion. I think a lot of it's funny money, a lot of money he owes to Russia. But if he has to eat a $250 or $500 million verdict for fraud, that gets reduced to judgment. It may be against his properties. It may be against him personally. It may be against both. If he tries any funny stuff like shift the money around and take it out of his properties, there are plenty of good bankruptcy lawyers who will chase him to the end of the earth. If he is stripped of that kind of money, it's absolutely humiliating. And number two, that takes a lot of the money that he has, especially cash. He'd have to come up with cash or convey assets that everybody agreed on the cash value. So my concept with this Erdogan of New York is that Trump mouths off again about his clerk, for instance. And, you know, this clerk is not a wealthy person. She can't afford security. Mitt Romney's paying $5,000 a day for security out of his own pocket. This clerk, I assume, takes the subway to work. It gets dark in New York at 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon. She's going to take what, a subway home in the dark? When a guy that has 50 million followers is tweeting her picture and saying that she's the reason? The clerk, for Pete's sake. I mean, the clerk has no independent discretion. The clerk simply writes what the judge, if she's a law clerk, she writes what the judge tells her to write. And if she's a calendar clerk, she will simply keep track of appointments. And she's supposed to worry about taking the subway home in New York This is wrong. This is very, very wrong. What I think the judge might want to consider next time is everybody goes, oh, you can't throw him in jail, right? You can't throw him in jail because he's a former president. He's running. Okay. Where's the Secret Service going to sit to protect him? Well, you or I would be thrown in jail if we had done what he just did. But there's an intermediary thing. You can say, all right, Mr. Trump, I'm putting you in jail for contempt for 5 days. And I'm going to clear the cells out. You're going to have your own cell, and the Secret Service will be on either side, or they can sit in your cell if you want them to. They can taste your food if you want them to. But he can let in the media. He has the right to do that. In New York especially, they used to do what's called a perp walk. Have you ever heard of a perp walk? What happens is they're going to arraign somebody, you know, a bad guy, a killer, whatever. And somebody from the New York Times, the New York Post calls them and says, hey, can you hold off 10 minutes? I'm stuck in traffic. Seriously. And they go, well, not really, because the judge wants us there at a certain time. So they bring him in. But then they perp walk him afterwards so they can get a picture for the newspaper. They take the guy out, walk him around the block again. He has his suit jacket over his head. I mean, that there were some judges that didn't like that, and I think it ultimately got enjoined. But you could do that for him. You could say, all right, there's going to be a motion from the press. Let us back there and take pictures of the orangutan in the jail cell. And he'll say, okay, go ahead. And they'll go back and they'll take pictures of him. And, you know, he's not going to be like in the old movies. He'd be taking his shoe and raking it across the bars and shouting, you dirty screws. He's not going to do that. But he's going to sit there looking angry as hell behind bars. He must be humiliated. He has a very, very weak ego, a very weak ego. He's very insecure, very nasty individual, lying Donald Trump. Crooked Donald Trump. And I think it's going to take something like that. Absolutely take something like that. And that's what I think the judge should consider. All right, Dick of Madison, we're going to squeeze in a quick call before we go to the break. My friend, what's on your mind today?
Well, Matt, the other thing that's a joke about that is just last week, he was crying in the alpha lorn about the fact that he couldn't be out on the campaign trail. Yes, you could. The judge could have informed him too that, and maybe he did, that there's no reason for you to be here, sir. In fact, we'd rather carry this on without you because you're nothing but, you know, I mean, it's a joke. And then he made such a fool of himself yesterday because his people, correct me if I'm wrong, they're trying to make Cohen look bad. And okay, yeah, Cohen's got his baggage, but he was calm, cool, and collective, and he went off like, you know, like he always does. So which is it? Do you really want to be on the campaign trail or do you just want to be wreaking havoc in the courtroom?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. What Dick is saying, just so everybody knows, Trump does not have to physically be in the courtroom in a civil case. In a criminal case, he can waive his appearance, but the judge has to approve it. And so the judge might not approve. In a civil case, he doesn't have to show up, especially in what's called a bench trial. So Trump, frankly, lied when he said, I have to be here. I'd like to campaign. And then it turned out he was going to a golf tournament. So he does that all the time. And one final thing before we go to the break to keep in mind. When Trump went on the stand and said, I was referring to Michael Cohen and not your clerk, the judge said that has no credibility and he fined him 10 grand. To say somebody has no credibility under oath is to say he's lying. Judges don't like to say that. Lawyers don't like to say that. But Trump was frankly lying. And that's why he got fined. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I was born in the soul of misery. Never had me a name.
Your home for the devil's advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons,
like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.